In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Hey, welcome to EMS Office Hours. This is Jim Hoffman. I am actually recording a quick sort of live session of the podcast today. My hope is to get some people that are kind of frequent the EMS Facebook groups to join me and kind of share some of their stories and what they might be struggling with in EMS. I thought today I would focus on a topic of EMS first. And we all have those first things that go on in EMS, you know, the first call, our first day of EMT or paramedic school, the first time we took an exam, the first time we encountered an FTO preceptor, the first time that we've had to give a radio report, all the types of things that go on that are first. And, you know, for me, I've been doing EMS for just about 30 years. And even now, there are still things that are first for me. Okay. So it's kind of always this constant learning experience. And this is something that I try to promote on my websites, on the blogs and stuff like that, is to let people know that, you know, EMS is really something we have to continually try to learn and improve and better our knowledge. And what better way than to come on at some sort of a live event like this and kind of share our stories. Guys, if you don't follow the podcast, do me a favor. You can go to iTunes. You can go to emsseo.com/iTunes. You can review and rate the podcast. It really helps us inside the Apple world and how they rate us in the podcast directory there, and helps us, of course, get more listeners. So today, let me go ahead. I'm hoping we have Ashley here. I'm hoping she's going to come on and share a little story that she might have for us today. But I'm going to go ahead and start real quick, Ashley, and hopefully get some more people will pop in. I know some people might be listening from their phone. And if they are, there are ways to join in with that as well. Just follow directions that were included in the sign up when you join by phone. Okay. If I'm not seeing you here, that could be why I don't see your name or see you popping up here as someone that's listening live with me. Okay. Guys, listen, I remember, you know, there are lots of firsts, right? And one story that sticks in my mind for me when I was a brand new paramedic. I had been in EMS for about 3 or 4 years. I was actually an EMT working in I-1 in New York City and went to paramedic school and actually just got promoted as a supervisor for the agency I was working for. And I was going to paramedic school, then working as an EMT part-time someplace else, doing the supervisory thing. You know the deal. More than one job, right? Anyway, I had a partner. He was a medic for maybe 2 years or so. I had been a new paramedic working with this new partner now when I graduated medic school, and pretty much didn't have any major calls yet, right? I was surprised that working in New York City that I didn't really have a lot of major calls just yet, just basic stuff. So the diabetics, the chest pains, the basic difficulty, asthmatic, COPD, or stuff like that. But nothing that really, I don't want to say challenged me, but nothing that, you know, would like really give you that sort of pucker factor where you would stress out about different things. And of course, you know, time will tell as anything else, that those of us out there who've never delivered a baby, eventually you will deliver a baby. Those of us that have never had a major trauma call, eventually you're going to get that major trauma call, right? Time is always a factor, right? The more you do it, the more you're going to see and you're going to experience. But for me, as a new medic and not experiencing anything, suddenly I'm thrust into this cardiac arrest call that I'm going to. And this was, again, a call that I've never gotten there. I've never gotten one yet, okay? And my first cardiac arrest call happened to also be one of a 13-year-old female. So now you've got the cardiac arrest, 13-year-old female kind of combo going on, right? For my first cardiac arrest, and on top of it being a pediatric on top of that, right? And the call came in as an unconscious call. We get there, and the female was unconscious. She was actually a international student who was visiting Brooklyn performing, and she just collapsed on stage out of nowhere. No medical history, nothing like that. So she's unresponsive, right? So now you get the unresponsive pediatric. And I'm treating her, my partner's treating her, doing all these different things, trying to assess blood sugar, all these types of things, trying to rule out what might be going on with this patient, right? Back then, we didn't do IOs out in the field. You know, we're starting intravenous. And I'm at the patient's head, and I'm managing the airway. And it gets to the point where, okay, you know, now it's time. We've got to intubate this patient. And I go to intubate her, but just before I even get ready to put the tube in or to put the blade in to try to visualize the vocal cords, she opens her eyes and looks at me and then goes into cardiac arrest. So now I've got my first cardiac arrest. I've got my first pediatric cardiac arrest. Okay. And now I'm getting ready to do my first actual intubation. And the intubation is on a pediatric. And I will tell you that to this day, that it was the easiest intubation that I've ever done. Okay. Not sure why that is, but I went to visualize the vocal cords and they were there, clear as day, no problems. And I was able to intubate that patient very easily. My other first for this as well was the first of being sort of a jerk to the EMTs, because I was so happy to get that intubation that when we eventually started moving her from where she was, which is deep, deep in this facility where the ambulances and the stretchers were way far away, nowhere to get there. We had a carrier on a longboard all the way out. You know, people get crazed, right? Because of pediatric cardiac arrest. And people start doing things too fast. And my concern was somebody is going to rip out that tube, right? We're walking too fast, that we're not bagging appropriately. We're not doing CPR appropriately. And everyone's in a big hurry to get to the ambulance while patient care is suffering on the way there. So being I was a new medic, didn't really have a lot of my communication skills down at that point. I ended up kind of getting nasty and a little short with some of the EMTs, you know, in my fear of losing the ET tube on the patient, and also that we weren't getting good patient care from where we were going, get to the ambulances. So, guys, that's like a bunch of firsts for me, right? And when you think about it, there are calls that we can do out in the field where you can have first, but at the same time, they can kind of be, you know, combined into one, right? You can have the first time you've ever done, let's say, a STEMI, and it's the first time you've transmitted that EKG. It's the first time you've talked to a doctor to let them know that you're coming in with a STEMI. The first time you've given a report for a critical patient that might have a STEMI going on, right? All of these things can tie in and can actually be, you know, part of first things that we deal with in EMS, okay? And sure, a lot of jobs, a lot of industries out there also have the same thing, right? Police officers deal with their first arrest, their first traffic stop, you know, their first assault, you know, call that they go to, their first, you know, shooting sometimes, right? Those officers that have the unfortunate condition where they end up having to shoot and draw their weapon. Firefighters deal with the same type of thing. Their first structure fire, their first car fire, right? Their first hazmat situation, right? Everybody in, you know, has these first things. And the important thing is that how do we learn from them, right? Now, for this patient, just to kind of give you the overall thing, you're not getting too much into the details, but she ended up having a brain bleed, and she had the aneurysm, and it just blew. And the doctor was, fortunately, you know, for me and my partner, we were visibly shaken from dealing with this and not knowing what the hell was going on, why the patient crashed like that, why she's unresponsive, and why nothing we did made any difference, right? The doctor ended up coming over to us while we were still at the hospital and said, told us that she had an aneurysm that popped and she bled out, and there was nothing we could do, you know, for this patient, no matter what we would have done. So while it was a sad outcome, you know, there was that learning experience, knowing that when you've got a patient with that type of a situation as well, there's not a lot we're going to do to make that much of an improvement in the field, okay, for patients like that, okay? And when you've got a patient like that where there's no history to gain from anybody because she's from another country where, you know, she's unresponsive, there's no complaint going on, and all you're going with is the body laying there, and assessing the patient, going back to your skill sheet, right? Going back to that patient assessment and starting from the top and going down, and then doing it over and over again, hoping that maybe you didn't miss something, or to see if something you didn't do or did do is having a result, right? That constant reassessment, right? So it's all ways, guys, that we learn. And again, another way that we do that is by sharing stories, is by letting each other know what first we've encountered. And I'm hoping, I'm going to see if Ashley, I see you still there. Thank you for joining. I'm going to let you go here, see if you can talk. I'm going to do that, and hopefully you can pop in here and give a little story about one of your stories.
Well, actually, I have to take my EMT test again, but I can tell some stories from when I did some RATOM.
Sure. Well, you can even, did you take your test already?
Yeah, I filled it by two areas.
Oh, boy. Then that was the National Registry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, you can tell your experience about the registry if you want us to, right? It's anything that you feel you could share that might help. Because listen, there's a lot of people out there that are first-timers taking the National Registry, right? And they're going by what they see other people saying and doing online and getting their feedback, right? And a lot of times it's just reading a text or, you know, the people that have passed who kind of blow it off that it was easy, you know, not to worry, you got this and stuff like that. But in the end, it's a little more, I think, involved than that, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. What got me is they had a lot of questions about cystic fibrosis, and we didn't really go over that in class, so I was a little confused, and I didn't know what that was, and I studied on that now, and I'm getting ready to take my test again, and hopefully I'll pass it.
So a lot of questions on cystic fibrosis, and I remember my EMG days and even my paramedic days, and that was not something that was covered too in depth as well. That's unusual that they would be throwing stuff like that at you at a basic level like that, you know, especially since it's something that, you know, we don't see a lot in the field and something that usually isn't covered that deeply in the courses these days. So that's a little strange there. So yeah. So how old are you, Ashley? You mind me asking you?
I'm 19.
Okay. Where are you from?
I'm from West Virginia.
Oh, okay. All right. So now you've done some ride time, I take it, right, throughout your EMT class?
Yes.
And you take it through like an EMS agency? Is it a fire-based agency? How does that work there in West Virginia?
So there's multiple places where you can get your EMT. I was fortunate enough to do it for free. My senior year of high school, they offered it at like a VOTEC school. So in the morning, you would go there and do EMT class half a day, and then high school, like in the evening, and do high school half a day. So I did that my senior year.
That's pretty cool. Get you out of high school, right? Give you a break from that.
Exactly.
I've actually seen some high schools do that. I believe my stepdaughter had something like that going on where some of the people were doing the EMT. Like you said, they would go to EMT school, like a vocational type school, do that for like the morning or the afternoon. But the other part, they would be at high school doing the regular high school class. So it's good that people get that skill, especially people that are interested in it, you know, to making it a career and then to moving on after high school to do that. So do you find that beneficial, being able to kind of do it both, or did you kind of struggle because you had the regular high school classes and then you had this other thing that was kind of like way outside of high school, kind of teaching about a job that you might be doing? Did you find that kind of challenging?
No, actually it helped me.
Yeah,
it made me more focused, and I graduated with honors. So,
oh, cool. Yeah. So no problems in EMT school or the high school as far as your grades. Did you find yourself struggling in EMT school at all with anything?
No. I scored 100 on my practicals. Mm-hmm.
Did you take a final exam in EMT school, or is the National Registry considered your final?
The National Registry is your final. We really didn't have a final.
But you took quizzes and stuff, I'm sure, right, throughout your EMT class, or like section exams and stuff like that, to kind of gauge where you were understanding the content?
Yes, we did like hands-on exams a lot.
Okay. And then did you find that helpful as far as relating to taking the National Registry exam, or do you think you might have been better taking more sort of standardized testing as far as multiple choice type tests and stuff to kind of gauge where you're at better?
More like standardized tests would help, because the National Registry, the way that the questions are worded, are tricky.
Yeah.
So I like know what I'm doing, but the way that the questions are worded are difficult.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Ashley, this is sort of like a big theme that I hear a lot. You know, I coach a lot of, you know, people. I do group coaching with people to help them with their exams and stuff. And a lot of these people that I coach, whether they're EMT students or paramedic students, none of them are dumb, right? Everybody seems to know what the hell they're doing as far as the patient care. Most of them understand the content that they're studying. It's when they sit down for the exam, somehow the disconnect is coming into play, where either the exam questions are not relatable to how they learned the content, or like you said, they find the questions to be worded so that it's almost trying to trick you, you know? I will tell you, I mean, you said you're taking the test again. When are you taking the test again?
I'm taking it in January.
Okay. I mean, the one thing, I had interviewed the associate professor, the associate director of National Registry a few years ago, and the reason why I asked to interview him is because of the fact that people had this perception that the National Registry was trying to trick you, right? And he really explained in depth how they come across their questions, what they do, and the whole that perception, try to help dispel that. And I'll actually when I put this posting up, this podcast up, I'll put the link to that audio in the notes, so anyone listening can go listen to that interview that I did with him. Because I think it really did kind of put some things in how they word questions and what their goal is, and as it relates to, you know, getting people to pass and understand the testing content. So listen, I totally feel you. Like I said, it's a common theme. People struggle with it. I'm sure if you've been in any of these EMS groups, you see that people, you're not alone, right? A lot of people mm-hmm. are struggling. A lot of people are failing. You know, they're taking it two times, three times, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, it's difficult, you know. The one thing I will tell you, and you know, I don't want to start doing the whole like coaching thing here for this. I'm going to try to keep it on that EMS first thing, but try to focus. Okay, focus on where your weak points are. You know, because if you understand a lot of the content already, it's just a matter of kind of understanding the part where you, like you said, some area that they let you know where you kind of fails, try to focus on the areas where you were weak on, and I think that's going to help you a lot. So why don't you get just share a little story if you can, Ashley, on maybe one of your ride-along, maybe your first ride-along. I think that's something that a lot of people that come into EMS and they start taking EMT class and stuff, and they do their first ride-along, it's pretty terrifying.
I can either tell the first time I did a ride-along or the first time I delivered a baby.
Either one is fine with me. You can tell the ride-along would be great. I mean, let me know as far as, what was your perception as far as the people you rode with? Like, were they welcoming? Were they kind of standoffish? I mean, you know, how did they kind of treat you, or what was the perception you had there?
So I actually did my ride home with two different agencies. The first agency, we didn't have any calls. So I just sat at the station and we hung out. Mm-hmm. And they were nice and everything. And then the second agency, they were slammed. And they're always slammed. And they were nice. And I see them at fire calls, actually, the person that I did ride home with. And she's really one of my good friends. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. It's good that you had a pleasant experience, as you know, getting on there the first time. I know that sometimes it's hard for people, you know, their first ride along with an ambulance, and they've got one or two experienced providers that they're riding with. It can be a little intimidating, you know, and I guess for me, some people are different, right? I like. Mm-hmm. The idea of having the ride along and if it to be a little slow in the beginning so I can kind of get my bearings. You know, I always like being able just to kind of sit back for an hour or so, kind of get my bearings, get to know the people I was with a little bit, get to know the equipment a little bit, you know. So when the calls came in, I wasn't totally kind of blindsided, right? Mm-hmm. Other people like it when they get in, they like to go right off the bat. You know, as soon as they get there, they want to get calls, they want to get into it, you know, they feel like getting thrown into it is better than the anticipation of getting the calls, you know. So what kind of calls did you have when you did, you said you had one where it was very busy. What kind of calls did you have that day?
So
were you riding along with paramedics or with other EMTs?
This one where I delivered a baby, it was a basic. So okay. One of them was a driver, and then my preceptor was an EMT basic. So.
Okay. So the driver and then a regular EMT.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we actually got called for backup and for another basic truck to deliver a baby. And this woman, she wouldn't push, and she requested drugs. And we couldn't give her drugs.
Sure.
And the baby's head was like halfway out, and she still wouldn't push.
So she wouldn't push why? Because she was demanding the drugs, or she just,
exactly she just wouldn't push. Painful? She wouldn't push because of drugs. She wanted the drugs. So one of the drivers drove us to the hospital, and she still wouldn't push all the way up to the hospital. And then when we got to the hospital. She delivered the baby, and it was stillborn. It was really sad.
Mm. That's rough. The first, OBGYN type call to have a stillborn like that, or have a complication like that. You know, I know that my first, few babies I delivered were pretty smooth. Then I had one that was a breech birth. I've never had a stillborn. I've got on scene where it was already out and it was a stillborn, but nothing that actually was delivered as a stillborn for me. And I guess that's fortunate, you know, for that to happen. I'm surprised that she refused, you know, to push and just wanted pain medicine. The pain was so bad, you know. And was she a full term?
Yes.
Did she seem to come from the type of, I guess, I hate to kind of label it, but the social economic type thing where, you know, she wasn't getting a lot of prenatal care and stuff like that?
Well, It looked like she was strung out on meth, and she had, like, track marks and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's tough, Ashley. You know, a lot of people deal with that. I know a girl who was in my paramedic class. And, you know, she was the first. She had two stillborn babies the first day. She had two calls almost back-to-back where they both were stillborn. They were, the mothers were on, the moms were both on crack, and she was pretty shaken by that. You know, it can happen, you know, but I think while that's a negative aspect of it, I think it hopefully, I think you learned a little bit from that, you know, maybe how to kind of deal with those types of patients, you know, maybe how to deal with, you know, the transport aspect of it. Because sometimes you end up, all you can do in a situation like that, right, is end up transporting. You know, you can, not much you can do right there, you know, with the situation. I mean, did the other EMT do anything as far as maybe trying to, did it appear that the baby was already stillborn, or did it appear that it was just there and it was stillborn because she wouldn't push?
It appeared, like, the head, like, looked strange, but it didn't appear to be stillborn.
Yeah.
But when the baby, like, was born at the hospital, we stayed, and in the head, it wasn't deformed, and, like, there was, like, water, like, moving around in the head, like, it was so messed up.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to have on one of your first ride-alongs, you know. You know, I hope you can bounce back from that and just know that you're going to have the, you know, if you stick with this career, you're going to have a lot of stuff like that go on. You know, you're also going to get the positive ones. You're going to have the days where you get the real childbirth that's pretty uncomplicated, where the baby comes out and you suction and you cut the cord, and there's a lot of screaming and yelling and sweating and stuff, you know, but in the end, you know, everyone's calm, you know. Those are the good ones, you know, and that's the thing you have to kind of hold on for. And that's something that I always used to tell people too, you know, that you get the days where every day, and you'll have days after day that kind of stink, you know, the calls are crappy and the patients are crappy and whatever you do doesn't seem to work, or you miss a clinical presentation on something. But then you get the days that, you know, come through, that shine, you know, and those are the ones that, for me at least, you know, the ones that keep me going and keep me realizing that this is why I love the job, you know. So, Lashley, I'm really thankful. I'm thankful that you joined me and shared a couple little, some stories and some insight, you know, with things. I'm sure there are people out there that are getting ready to take the National Registry test, you know, and they hear you saying what you said and stuff. And again, like I said, you know, you tell me that you know your stuff, you know what's going on and everything, and that to fail the test, it's kind of frustrating, and you kind of sit there scratching your head why it is that happened, you know. But try to focus, man. Try to focus on where you were short, you know. So this way, you're reviewing the stuff where you kind of already passed and know that stuff, and just kind of focus more on the things that where you were kind of missed the mark a little bit, you know. You did any practice exams for anything leading up to the NEST test?
I actually have the app, EMT Prep.
The EMT what? Prep? Oh, the Limerick, yep. Creative one?
I think so, yeah.
I think that's Dan Limerick's stuff, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Dan's pretty good, so he'll, I'm sure, just use that as best you can. Don't use it as a tool that's going to try to memorize stuff, because then you get into the exam and the National Registry, like, you know, it's not going to show you the exact same type of questions, right? It's just going to be worded a little bit differently. Use it as a way to study. Try to use it as a way to kind of build your knowledge, so that no matter what question the National Registry throws at you, if you've got the good knowledge base and you understand the content, you should be able to go ahead and succeed.
Yeah, all right, I understand.
Anything else you want to share before we pop out?
Not really.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for sharing, Ashley. I appreciate it. Keep an eye out on the EMSOfficeHours.com website, and this posting will probably go up probably later on this week or maybe next week, depending upon my Christmas schedule and where I can get the editing done up. So, Ashley, thanks a lot for joining me. Hopefully, we'll hear from you again, and you know, be sure to chime in on the Facebook groups to get some more help if you can, if you need it. All right.
Sure. All right. Thank you.
All right. Stay safe out there.
You too.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I really appreciate Ashley jumping on here. I know a lot of people had expressed interest and said they were going to join me on today's show. Listen, guys, I know it's daunting to come on, speak to a stranger, i.e. me, and knowing that your voice might be heard by a lot of other people being on a podcast. Okay, trust me, once you do it once, you will feel much more comfortable. And believe me, sharing your story, sharing your thoughts, coming on and talking about topics that you are passionate about in EMS will help you as a provider, as a professional, okay? It's going to help you grow, right? And it's going to help, you know, other people when they hear your stories, they hear your point of view, it'll get their juices flowing. It'll get their mindset pointed in the direction of, you know, what you might be struggling with, right? Maybe that can help somebody else, right? Maybe your point of view is in line with somebody else's point of view on something, right? And let them know that maybe a mistake that they made or a call they had or a situation they had to deal with is very similar to yours, right? So don't be shy, guys. I'm going to put more of these up, okay? We can all jump on here together and share. So hopefully next time, we'll have more than just one person joining live and get some more input from them, okay? Guys, if you listen to this show, be sure to comment below. We can keep the conversation going there. If you don't like coming on live, go ahead and join me in the chat. You can go in the chat, and I'll go ahead and relay your questions and comments that way as well if you're not comfortable coming on live. So whichever way, guys, I can get you to engage with me and the EMS community, I am willing to go ahead and do that. All right, guys, be sure to check out the blog. It's at emsofficehours.com. Check out emsseo.com for study and exam help and stuff like that. And guys, don't forget, I have the differential diagnosis resource that I just put out there. It's a digital ebook download that you can get. It's 100% free. It'll help you when you get on calls to kind of figure out what might be going on with the patient that's complaining of chest pain, complaining of difficulty breathing or abdominal pain, where it's not so clear what's going on. It'll give you some more differential diagnosis ideas you can think of when you're ruling out or ruling in what might be going on with your patient. Again, you can get that for free. It's at emsseo.com/DLikeDavidX. So it's emsseo.com/DX. Guys, as always, thanks again for joining me. I look forward to hearing from you again in the near future. And if you join me on other future podcasts, I've got one other thing just to kind of shamelessly plug something. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but I've got a great project in the works right now, guys. If you're browsing around the podcast, it's 100% free. But I really think a lot of you guys are going to benefit from this. I see questions about this all the time, and I've decided to take the bull by the horns and be the one that kind of does this stuff for you guys. I don't want to say anything now because it's kind of in beta. I don't want anybody running over to that site or anything like that and then, oh, it sucks. So give me another week or so. I'll have it up and going a little bit more. And then you can go check it out. I'll give you the domain name on that shortly. So keep an eye out for that, guys. I'm really excited to let you guys in on that. You can take advantage of that as well. All right, guys, that's it. I am Jim Hoffman from EMS Office Hours. Stay safe.